Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Arlene and I were away. Our oldest daughter, Sarah, the one that's expecting, she's actually, today's her birthday, but she graduated last week with her master's degree from Johnson University, so we went down for that. It's kind of cool. I'm pro-life, so I saw my son, my grandson, walk across the stage. Well, literally, I guess he didn't walk. She walked across the stage, but she got her diploma, and it was really, really, really neat. And we're glad things went well here. You know, when we see signs like this, we always take notice to such dangers, right? Right? Yeah, I mean, you see a sign that says toxic, you know, don't drink this, poisonous, whatever. We always take notice of such warnings, right? Right. We don't want to hurt ourselves. I remember years ago, it was actually April Fool's Day, 1981. I remember the date so well because I got up that morning. It was the year before Arlene and I got married. We were still in college, and I was a junior. She was a freshman in college. And I got up that day on April Fool's Day, 1981, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna play an April Fool's joke on Arlene. I did, and I decided that what I would do was I would pretend that I couldn't speak, that I was sick. And we were going to see her parents later that day after school was over, 5-hour drive, and I thought, you know, I'd pretend I couldn't talk, and then when we got to her mom and dad's, I would walk in and say, hey guys, how are you doing? Nice to see you today. And then, you know, I would get her, right? So I got up that morning. I went, we met each other for breakfast at the school. And she said, how are you this morning? I said, I can't talk. My voice is gone. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. She was like pouring on the sympathy. I was like eating it up. And I said, yes, you know, I got her. She didn't suspect anything. And so I thought, this is great, you know. And a couple times that morning, I got to speak to her and I'd pretend I could. And she felt so badly for me, and I thought, you know what, I got her. I was going to do this all the way on this trip, and then when we get there, I was going to, you know, happily greet her mom and dad, and that was going to be April Fool's on you, right? And she went back to her dorm, and she saw her roommate, and she said something to her roommate about poor John. He can't talk, and her roommate said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I just saw him. He can't speak. And she said, oh, I just saw him. He was yucking it up with his buddies. He seemed fine to me. So my secret was out, and Arlene came over, and she said, come here, I got something. She took me to her mailbox. You know the mailboxes you had in college where you did the little dial, and you opened up the box, and, you know, you looked through the little door, and nobody ever sent you anything, right, that mailbox. And she had a little paper cup in there about this big, and it was full of this liquid. And she said, you know, somebody gave me this. It's really good for sore throat. Drink this. I think it'll help. I thought, you know, okay. And I took it, and I tipped this up. And as soon as it went down my throat, I instantly was like, oh my goodness. And I said, what was that? And she said, it worked. It was a cup of pure Wesson oil. Yes, Arlene did this to me, okay? I mean, it no sooner went down, it's like, oh my goodness, I don't feel so good. She said, but you sound fine. You know, the joke was on me, right? I mean, think about it. We don't easily put things in our body or bring things into us that we think are poisonous, that we think are toxic, right? Well, in reality, we do it all the time. I mean, we may think, you know what, I'd never take poison. I would never take something that was toxic. I would just never do that. But we do it all the time. We do it all the time, and not just with stuff that we take into our body, but certainly things that we take into our mind. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at this idea about things that are toxic, things that are poisonous. Matter of fact, the definition of toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. And let me tell you, one of the things that we put inside us all of the time that's really toxic, that's really poisonous, and that is toxic thoughts. I mean, we do this all the time. It's amazing how much poison we allow to come into us. We ingest these toxins. We bring them into our existence all the time. Even though God's word tells us things like this: carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Carefully guard your thoughts. Why? Because they are the source of true life. Think about this, folks. Do we do that? I mean, how much thought do we give to guarding our thoughts? You know, I would suggest to you that for a lot of us, for even most of us, maybe even for all of us at times, we don't do it near enough. We don't guard our thoughts. We just let things. Matter of fact, here, I'll give you an example of why this is true and how this is true. Has anybody ever said to you, "I know what you're thinking"? Right? Has anybody ever said to you, "I know what you're thinking"? And instantly, you know what we think when we hear somebody say that to us? "I know what you're thinking." I always think, "Boy, I hope not." Right? I mean, I know what you're thinking. "Oh, I hope not. Dear God, please don't let this person know what I'm thinking." Right? Because if we think about it, if I knew everything that you thought, I probably never let you in here. And if you knew everything I thought, you'd probably never allow me to stand up here and talk. Right? I mean, we all have this problem with our thought life. But think about it, folks. He says here that we need to guard our thoughts. Why? Because they are the source of true life. Think about it. Every affair starts with a thought. Matter of fact, every sin starts with a thought. Matter of fact, every good deed starts with a thought. Every act of kindness and service starts with a thought. Matter of fact, everything you do, everything that you do, good or bad, begins with a thought. So what the writer here is saying, that we need to guard our thoughts. Why? Because they are the source of true life. In other words, we are what we think. We think we are what we do, but we really are, we are what we think. Remember when Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount and he talked about thou shalt not commit adultery. But then he said, "But I say unto you, those that have looked on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. I say, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say, anyone that has hatred in his heart for his brother has committed murder." In other words, Jesus said, it's not just what you do, but it's how you think. Everything in life begins with a thought. You were here this morning in church, in this service, because you got up this morning, you thought, "You know, I'm going to go to church today." Or last night, "Sweetheart, let's make sure we get up in time to go to church, to go to worship." Everything, good or bad, begins with a thought. Therefore, he says, guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life. Matter of fact, let me take it one step further. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. I love this passage. He says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Look at verse 5. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Isn't that awesome? Paul says that we need to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, folks, here's the thing. We can't control what enters our mind, but we can control what stays there. Right? I mean, temptation is not a sin. The sin happens when you dwell on that temptation and when you act on that temptation. So you and I, we can't control things that enter our mind. You know, a moment of lust, a moment of indecision. You know, the devil puts something out there and we see something that tempts us. We can't control what just comes at us momentarily. But we can control what lingers, what stays there, what we dwell on. You see, that's why this idea about pornography on the internet is so destructive. Because, you know, everybody in life, you have these temptations. But when you sit in front of a computer screen and for hours or however long, just over and over and over again, just put this stuff in your mind, people say, you know what, it's not destructive. It doesn't do anything. It's not bad. I'm by myself. I'm in this room. Nobody else sees it. It's just me. And that's the point. It is just you. And it is absolutely polluting your mind and your heart. It's poison. It's toxic. And he says here that we got to guard our thoughts because they're the source of true life. We have to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, you know, we shouldn't let anything in our mind that we would be ashamed of Jesus being a part of. So you know what? If you have problems with your thought life, what kind of problems? Well, I think we have like negative thoughts, we have fearful thoughts, we have discontented thoughts, we have critical thoughts. And what I think he means when he says that we need to bring every thought and make it obedient, captive, obedient to Christ, take it captive and make it obedient to Christ, what it means is we have to turn these negative thoughts into positive things for our life. In other words, instead of just being negative, you know, instead of just saying, oh my goodness, this person doing a terrible job or this, that, and the other, maybe you should turn that around and be positive and actually pray for that person. Offer help to that person. You know, instead of being bombarded and really held captive by fear, maybe to say, you know, I need to pray and say, God, I want to trust in you. I don't want to be afraid because perfect love casts out fear. And I don't want to live a fearful life. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to be captive by these thoughts. I want to take captive these thoughts and make them obedient to you. You know, instead of discontented, you know, maybe we need to turn that around and turn that into something positive for the kingdom of God and realize that God has us here at this moment for a reason. Instead of just fighting the negative thoughts of discontentment, maybe be thankful for what we have and where God has us at this moment. You know, critical. Instead of being critical of someone or something, maybe you need to pray and ask God that you can interject something that is helpful. You see, folks, you don't have to do anything to make your thought life work against you. But you have to be intentional to make your thought life what God wants it to be. I love the passage in Jeremiah chapter 12. What a good word. He says, you know me, O Lord. You see me. Test my thoughts about you. Test my thoughts about you. Can you say that prayer to God? I mean, could you say, God, you know me. You see me, therefore, God, test my thoughts about you. Test my thoughts. Look inside me and read my thoughts. Read my motivation. Understand where I'm coming from. Not just my actions, not just what other people see in me, but God, look deep inside me and test even my thoughts. Can we pray that prayer? That is a hard prayer to pray. I love the rest of this in this passage in Jeremiah 12 in verse 3. He says after that, he says, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the thoughts. Look at what he says there. Test my thoughts about you, O God. Drag them off. In other words, drag my thoughts off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. In other words, God, know, understand what my thoughts are about you. You know what, folks? That's a pretty revealing thing, isn't it? To be able to live and to know that's what God wants us to do. Here's the thing, though, folks. What we have to be able to do is we need to replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. We need to replace toxic thoughts with God's truth. We need to replace all of these negative discontented, all of these thoughts that just bombard us in the world, critical thoughts, fearful thoughts. And we need to make sure that we dispel those and we replace those with God's truth. He even gives us that truth here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Look at what he says. He says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." Now think about that. As you look at this, list and you read this list that, you know, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think on these things. Is this a list that describes your thought life? I mean, is this a list that describes what's going on inside of you? Or is it something that you struggle with, that you hide? You know, we were just down with our oldest daughter, and we had a great time, and she's just a month away from giving birth to this baby. It's a boy. And my son-in-law, Mark, okay, who's married our oldest daughter, Sarah, he was raised in Florida. I didn't know this until after they got married, that he was a fan of the University of Florida. Okay? I would have stopped this wedding, all right? I'm just partly kidding, all right? I mean, this was just like devastating to me when I found this. And now he just kind of needles me about it because, you know, you probably aren't aware of this. If you're a University of Tennessee fan, you despise, you know, Florida. They're right up there with like Cuba and everything, you know. And so we're down there and we're opening gifts for this baby. And I bought this little grandson. I bought him an orange and white outfit to wear to church. You know, that's why orange is so popular in Tennessee. Did you know that? You know, you can root for the Vols on Saturday, you can wear it to church on Sunday, and then you can report back to the penitentiary on Monday and never change clothes. Orange, right? Anyway, I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from. But I told him, I said, if you think my grandson is going to grow up rooting for the University of Florida, you've got another thing coming. It just ain't happening. And, you know, I was just partially kidding. You know, I was mostly kidding. Not totally kidding, but mostly kidding. But here's the thing, folks. You know, we have this idea of what's a good thought, of what's a bad thought, of what is right and what is pure and what is honorable and what is noble, what is trustworthy, what is praiseworthy. We have this list, and we most of the time we fail so miserably at thinking about these things. We think about other stuff. We so easily think about the other kinds of negative and fearful and discontented and critical things. And he's saying that we need to replace that and have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And the way that we do that is by things that are pure and noble and true and right and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. That we need to think about these things. But so often we don't. You see, that's the point. And we have to work hard at doing just that. Now, here's the cool thing, because in the Word, he tells us how to do this. It comes from Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, when he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." By the renewing of your mind. You see, folks, that's what you and I need. We need a renewed mind. We need a renewed mind that can only come from God. Now, this Greek word that's translated here, renew, it's anikosis. And it's a Greek word that literally means, look at this, it literally means a renovation. A renovation that makes things better than when they were new. And this is the invitation that God gives to us, that we can have a renewing of our mind, that we can have a mind that thinks on the things of God, that we don't have to have a mind that is just full of the garbage of this world, that we don't have any control over, that we're just slaves to what we think, and most of the time it's negative stuff. The Bible says, no, we don't have to have that. We can choose to have something different, something better, but we have to allow God to renew our mind. And the good thing is that when we allow God to renew our mind, then our mind is actually better than it was before. And that's what he offers to us. You know, I think back on my life, and I when we moved here to Altoona, we bought a house. I should have never bought a house 100 years old, okay? Our house was built in 1919, so it's going on 100 years old. 100-year-old house. I don't know which end of the hammer to use. You know, I've never touched anything plumbing-wise that didn't turn out to be some kind of huge fiasco. You know, I'm the kind of guy that turns the electricity off at the pole in order to change a light bulb because it just scares me to death. Right? I mean, you just don't do that. And then I think back and I thank God for Harry Houck, my personal contractor. Okay? You know, I should have never bought a 100-year-old house. But it's okay because I have friends and people, you know, that you can hire and stuff that can help you. You know, I remember early on and when we moved here, Jim Harding, he even jokes about, me calling him and saying, "Hey, Jim, how are you?" And he knew there was something plumbing-wise that was going on. It's, you know, I've got friends that are electricians and friends that are plumbers. And, you know, my friend Harry has done so much. And we've redone the kitchen and we put a new garage on. And we've put a back patio on and we put a front porch on our house. And we've painted the entire house multiple times. And, you know, we've changed all these kinds of things. And, you know, just this morning, I walked out on the front porch close to daylight, and I had a cup of coffee, and I sat down on this beautiful front porch in our house that we didn't have a couple years ago. And I sat back in the chair that was there, and I just kind of, this is nice. This is better than it was before. And you know what? I've had that experience spiritually with God a few times too. You know, when God has convicted me, you've had this too, right? You've had the times when God has convicted you of an area in your life that needs to be remodeled, that needs to be refurbished, that needs to be torn down and rebuilt, and you allow him to do it. All of a sudden you think, you know what? Man, this is so much better than it was before. You know, I had a conversation recently with somebody who's really, really struggling in their marriage, and both people gave their heart to God, and God helped restore that marriage, and they actually said to me, "You know what? This is so awesome." I mean, it's so awesome when you turn things over to God and you allow him to renew you. You see, because it's easy for us to sit here this morning and say, you know what, our thought life, it's not what anybody else can know about. They don't know what I'm thinking, and so therefore we don't give much thought and much time to it. But God is saying here that if we really want to be who he wants us to be, we have to allow him to renew our mind. To renew our mind and make us into the kind of people that he wants us to be. And you know what, folks? That ain't going to happen until we allow him to invade and take over our lives. And for us to speak words that are prompted by his Spirit. And to do work, good works, prompted by his love. To go places prompted by his moving. And to share the love of God that's prompted by his love for us. And you know what, folks? When that happens, it's a beautiful thing. But it doesn't happen near enough. And a lot of the times, it doesn't happen because we're thinking our thought life is something totally different, something else altogether. So I ask you, what kind of toxic thoughts plague you the most? Are they negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, discontented thoughts, critical thoughts? I mean, what kind of thoughts just overcome you in life? And here's the thing. What's the next step that you need to take that will allow you to take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ? What can you do to make sure that the truth of the Bible, that you are thinking about things that are noble and true and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy? Think about these things. It can only happen if we allow God to renew our mind from the inside out. And I pray that today that we'll let him start doing that, even right now. Because you know what, folks? There's not a one of us here that wouldn't turn away from poison if we knew it was poison. And our thoughts can be poison that the devil uses to pollute our lives and the lives of the people that we love the most. And the neat thing is that, you know what? When you find that you've ingested poison, what do? You take the antidote. And the antidote here is the Spirit of God. May we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask you this morning to help us, Lord, to allow you to renew our mind. To allow you, Lord, to live inside of us in such a way that makes us better than we've ever been before. Lord, may we not settle for the negative, fearful, discontented, critical thoughts that the world bombards us with. But Father, may we choose something else. May we choose something different. May we allow, Lord, your Spirit to live inside of us and renew us from the inside out. And that, Lord, when we speak good words, it's because of the good and pure thoughts inside of us. When we do good deeds, Lord, may they be motivated by the goodness that is within us. When we offer forgiveness, may it be because we have been forgiven. When we love others as you've asked us to do, may it be because we feel within our heart that we have your love and the love of others. God, may we reject and overcome the toxic, poisonous thoughts that this world bombards our lives with. And Father, may we choose instead a life that is in you, a life that is abundant and eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, christ.com.